Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
98.1059 KZE, the West Coast funk band of choice, Tower of Power, cooking up some fresh squib cakes for everybody. I'm Andy Gladding. We've had kind of a quiet afternoon over here on the radio because we've been busy behind the scenes upgrading our computer system. So if you hear anything weird going on, that's why. MK very smartly took the day off and the week off this week because she knew it was coming. So leaving us to do the work of the gods of rock and roll. Speaking of gods of rock and roll, I've got a god of rock and roll in the studio here with me right now, Mr. John Barry.
Hello, how are you? And you said if you hear anything weird, and I'm here. I've arrived. Let's get weird.
I mean, I said weird, and then became weird, and then now it's John Weird, Bob Weird. I don't know. You know what's going on today.
Weird. I think Bobby would approve of us getting pretty weird.
I think so, too. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun celebrating Bobby yesterday, and the celebration continues. I know that it's really cool to see all of the different events that are, like, being put together so quickly to commemorate and recognize Bobby's passing.
Yeah, there's going to be one at the Bearsville Theater tomorrow night that is sold out that's being basically hosted by Peter Shapiro, who goes way back with Weir and has had him at all his venues. And I don't know if you want to hear it now or later, but I got a pretty good story about Weir. I think he was opening the Brooklyn Bowl in Williamsburg.
Well, let's go.
Do we want to hear it?
Don't make me wait.
So the same night that Weir was playing was a Yankee playoff game. And if you've ever been to the Brooklyn Bowl, I haven't been there in a while, but back when it opened, it's a bowling alley.
Sure. Great venue.
And there's also tons of video screens. So, you know, while we're waiting for showtime, packed place, and the Yankee game's on like, I don't know, 12 or 15 huge video screens. So it was really cool because, like, people were cheering when they got a hit and, you know, stolen base out. And it was kind of like being at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, if it was an 8 o'clock showtime, you know, 8:10, 8:20, okay. But then it got to like 8:40, 10 to 9,
oh boy.
10 after 9. And I'm like, wait a second. Who is the biggest sports fan we know? Bob Weir. I said, he's upstairs in his dressing room watching the game.
Of course he is.
So sure enough, I guess it was the tour manager, some guy dressed in black. He's got, you know, the radio and the gear on his belt. And he goes, comes to the microphone and he goes, Bobby wants to know, do you want to keep watching the game or do you want him to come out and play? Now it's like pushing 10 o'clock. So we're like, come out and play. So the TVs went off and here comes Bobby. And, you know, getting to Williamsburg from the Hudson Valley is a 2-hour train ride and then quite a schlep on the subway.
Sure.
So, you know, who knows when I got home, but it was worth it.
It sounds like it. I mean, anything involving the Shapiro, the Brooklyn Bowl, and Bobby is always a good time.
You just can't go wrong. And if I may make a couple of shameless plugs, I'm here with my really good and solid and righteous friend, Andrew Eisner, who I might add saw the Garcia Band at the Chance in 84? 83.
Andrew, you got to speak into the microphone.
No, 83 at the Chance, right down the road in Poughkeepsie.
Did you see the early and late shows?
Both shows.
And you saw Jerry beforehand.
Incredible, yes. I live in New Jersey, and we got horribly lost on the way to the show.
Back in the days when you had to consult a map. And I wasn't driving, but I was the navigator. And actually, I was probably started in the back seat, and they put me in the front seat to unscrew what they had screwed up. And we got there so late and bought tickets at the door, I think. And as we were waiting to finally get in after getting there, Jerry's bus pulled up and off bounded Jerry and the band. And, you know, I still remember him carrying a briefcase and thinking, why is he carrying a briefcase?
I wonder what's in the briefcase.
Very important business documents.
Thinking emoji.
Two shows, and I remember a lot of bikers were there, and I was like a little kid.
So I just wanted to mention that Andrew and I come to you by way of MendoWorks.com. That is a startup music news digital outlet, MendoWorks.com. We got a lot of big plans for that, and we're excited, and we'll keep the greater universe and galaxy updated. And because I'm a glutton for punishment and continuing my 30-plus year, quote-unquote, career in journalism, I am also writing a staff writer for the Overlook News in Woodstock. a not-for-profit news outlet, which all the kids are doing these days. And I am working up a story about Bob Weir's local connections to the Woodstock area, of which they are many. So the OverlookNews.com, check it out on Friday. And shameless plugs are over.
We love shameless plugs. But, John, you're allowed to have shameless plugs. Andrew Eisner, I don't know how many shameless plugs we're going to let him do today.
Yeah.
Well, believe me, I'll sneak a few in.
He's kind of like an interloper in the, you know. But it's okay. It's okay. And, by the way, the light shining off of you, Andrew, from the disco ball.
It's exciting.
Really, it's capturing an essence that
it's inspiring.
It reminds me of seeing the dad on New Year's in 1988 and Bill Graham riding in on a disco ball. At least that's what I thought it was.
Wow. Wait a second. I was at New Year's. I'm not kidding. New Year's 88.
Yeah.
Clarence
Clemens.
They had a disco ball with big, you know, disco balls like this one here
giant.
In the studio has these tiny little glass things. This one had giant ones. And it was at the edge of the stage, and it rotated. And the only time they used it in the three-night run was during the wheel when they said small wheel turns by the fire and rod, big wheel turns by the grace of God. And I swear to God, when they spun the thing electronically and they shined lights on it, and I swear to God, these linear four-sided beams came at me.
Yes.
It was unlike, and then it stopped.
That sounds like you guys had a really good time.
That was a good run.
You know, we're starting to find out that we've been to a lot of shows together. We were both in Oxford Plains, Maine.
Oh, man, Oxford Plains, Maine. So, Bobby, so another time, I actually saw the first incarnation of Phil Lesh and Friends. It was the Grateful Dead, no drummers, at Berklee Community Theater, which, you know, it's kind of akin to my high school auditorium. I believe it was a fundraiser for the Berklee School's jazz program, which I'm sure Phil spearheaded, being the jazzer he is. So it was Jerry, Bobby, Phil, and Vince Welnick. And, you know, Bobby, they opened the show, and Bobby's like, oh, we didn't know if we should sit down or stand up. If you know, what do they do on MTV Unplugged? But if you watch that, they're really plugged in. And then at that point, you know, they're playing acoustic instruments they have cords to their amps. So when Bobby says, you know, if you look at it, they're really plugged in, and he pulls the cord out of his acoustic guitar, which, if you've never experienced that in a 2,000 seat auditorium, it doesn't really sound very good.
No.
And everyone, there was like a collective groan. And, you know, it was very unpleasant.
Well, you know, we'll try to avoid doing that here.
Yeah.
Just make sure we don't unplug
easy
anything.
On the unpleasant stories.
We've already unplugged enough things today and accidentally taken the station off the air twice. So we're going to try to not do that again. Speaking of Bobby, we're going to play a little Bobby right now. But gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We have more storytelling to do here as we celebrate Bob Weir this week. And some would say, but you already celebrated on Saturday, and then you celebrated on Sunday, and you celebrated on Monday. We got another day or two to go.
Just let me say, I have been celebrating Bob Weir since 4/7/87 at the Brendan Byrne Arena in the Meadowlands, and I'm going to be celebrating Bob Weir until the day I die.
You got that 300-year awesome. Plan, baby. Let's go. Speaking of Bobby, here we go.
Desert town, and I never saw the ocean till I was close to your age now. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you. chance that you'll remember all those nights in the riverbed. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you.
Always something happening in the Hudson Valley. New restaurants, standout events, local news, and real estate. Chronogram's newsletter brings it all together. It's your Hudson Valley cheat sheet, delivered to your inbox 5 days a week, so you're always in the loop. It's quick, it's useful, and it makes staying connected to the region easy. Subscribe now at chronogram.com/newsletter. The Chronogram newsletter, your Hudson Valley cheat sheet.
Butternut, 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 butternut.
Enjoy the ultimate winter experience at Ski Butternut in Great Barrington, Mass. With 100% snow making on 22 trails, we are known for the best snow in the Berkshires. We have $25 non-holiday Friday lift tickets sponsored by L.L. Bean and $40 non-holiday lift tickets Monday through Thursday. If you aren't a skier, you can still experience winter thrills at our top-rated 10-lane tubing center. Visit SkiButternut.com for great deals on winter fun.
Hello, this is Wayne Nuspickle from NNS Supply and NNS Bath Classics. I love listening to 98.1 KZE.
Something rotten. sit next to me.
KZE, Andy Gladding filling in for MK today. I got a Facebook message. Somebody said, hey, in between all the Bobby and the Grateful Dead, can you play something by Foster the People? Hey, why not? We can do that. So John Barry and Andrew Eisner in the studio with me as part of our ongoing celebration of the life and times of the great Bob Weir. And we're having fun over here, kind of exploring all this music. And I got to be honest with you guys, I heard stuff as I was picking things for our show yesterday that I have not even had the chance to really listen to, and some surprising covers of songs and things like that. And, you know, I know that covers are of great interest to you recently, Mr. Barry. So tell me about your covers and things about cover songs that might be coming up in the future.
Yeah, kind of keeping a tight lid on that, but... well,
just a little bit off.
Yeah, you're interested in cover songs. How about that?
Well, I'm interested in cover songs that don't sound like the original. I'm interested in cover songs that blow it up and start from scratch. And Andy Gladding, you are correct. I have been probably listening to thousands of cover songs in the past few months, and I can say this, that probably earlier this year, I came across a great version of Bruce Springsteen's Atlantic City by Ben Harper.
Ooh.
And Atlantic City, to me, isn't a Springsteen song. It's a band song with the guys right up the road. So I said, oh, I love Ben Harper. I know a member of his team who's wonderful. Let me go find the song in Apple Music. And I'm sure it's part of a great album that I can kind of dig on this weekend. So I went to Apple Music, and I couldn't find Ben Harper's Atlantic City, which left me perplexed. But what I did find was 94 covers for 7 hours of listening to Atlantic City.
Jeez. 94 covers.
94 covers.
Yikes.
7 hours on one
94
song.
94 bottles of beer on the wall.
94 bottles of beer. So I'm going to leave it at that to pique your curiosity. But suffice to say that me and the two Andrews here and other co-conspirators are cooking up something pretty cool that those in the know have offered great feedback for. So stay tuned on that. And it will, of course, include the Grateful Dead.
Very cool. Well, you know, you piqued my interest in Atlantic City. I love that tune. It kind of feels like an Atlantic City kind of day. So, hey, you know what? Why don't we give the people what they want here, you know?
Yeah.
This one is also from up the road. Amy Helen Connor.
Amy and Connor.
Will this suffice? Is this acceptable?
Absolutely. I love them both.
98.1 KZ, Atlantic City.
You're the chicken man for the last night. Blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble bussing in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble on the promenade, and the gambling commissioner's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Well, everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. this man can pay. So I drew out what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that Coast City bus. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair.
It's the KZE Community Bulletin Board, a weekly listing of community events in our tri-state listening area. The Community Bulletin Board is brought to you by Hudson Valley Goldsmith, offering fine, handmade jewelry, on-site repairs, and the work of over 50 designers. Voted best jewelry store in the Hudson Valley at 71 Main Street in New Paltz and online at hudsonvalleygoldsmith.com. Williams Lumber, the name you know and the name you trust, with 7 locations to serve you, including Rhinebeck, Red Hook, Hudson, High Falls, and Pleasant Valley. WilliamsLumber.com. And by Newberry Artisan Market, with over 35 local vendors, including locally handcrafted products, vintage clothing, and antiques. At 236 Main Street in Saugerties, NewberryArtisanMarket.com. Thursday, January 15th, the Scoville Memorial Library in Salisbury, Connecticut will host classical guitar group lessons for adults beginning at 5 p.m. For more info, please visit scovillelibrary.org. Friday, January 16th, the Red Hook Public Library in Red Hook, New York will host their English as a Second Language program beginning at 11 a.m. For more info, please visit redhooklibrary.org. Thursday, January 22nd, the Tivoli Free Library in Tivoli, New York will host Preschool Storytime for ages 3 through 5, beginning at 10:30 a.m. For more info, please visit tivolilibrary.org. To submit your nonprofit or community event to KZE, log on to WKZE.com, click the Contact Us link, and email the who, what, when, and where of the event to info at WKZE.com.
Phew. The holidays have come and gone, and I'm completely drained.
Same here. The shopping, the cooking, the running around, it's nonstop.
And then poof, it's over. The decorations come down, the house gets quiet, and suddenly the days are colder and darker.
Cozy, sure, but also kind of lonely, especially for kids and parents, too.
Yeah, that's the part they leave off the greeting cards. What happens after the holidays?
Hi,
I'm Christina Wright, LCSW and Clinical Director of New Directions Family Counseling in Kingston, New York. The post-holiday season can be a challenging time. Routines shift, energy drops, and families often feel disconnected. That's why we're launching a new 10-week series of age-based support groups beginning this January. We're offering groups for children ages 5 to 17 and a parent-focused group, creating a space for everyone in the family to connect, learn, and be supported. Each 90-minute session explores topics like coping skills, family relationships, and self-esteem, all through art, creativity, and engaging activities, snacks and refreshments included. Join us at New Directions Family Counseling and make this winter a season of support, connection, and growth. Visit newdirectionsfamilycounseling.com to learn more and register today. That's newdirectionsfamilycounseling.com.
This is Kim Williams from Williams Lumber and Home Centers, and you're listening to 98.1 KZE.
Don't choose me because I am faithful. Don't choose me because I am kind. If your heart settles on me, I'm for the taking. Take me for longing or leave me behind.
Might as well be me. play for life. Once was born and once for blood at the point of a knife. Now the die is shaking, now the die must fall. There ain't a winner in the game. He don't go home with all. Texas, 4th day of July. Sun so hot, the clouds so low, the eagles fill the sky. On the
Hi, this is Michelle from Red Hook, and you're listening to my favorite radio station, 98.1
KZE. I know it was just Andy here, but Andy had to help me out so I can get some stuff done later on tonight, and so I'm with you now. I am Alyssa. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I still have our friends with me here. Andrew.
How are you, Alyssa? That is good. My sister's name, so...
Really?
Great name.
Spells it with a Y?
No, E-L-I-S-S-A.
Close enough.
She's changed it, but that's a longer story, so.
Interesting. So, we have been talking about Grateful Dead, talking about Bob Weir today. Do you have anything you would like to share about the Dead and how they've impacted you and people around you?
Sure. During COVID, I figured out that I was a Deadhead since the age of 11. Saw my first show at 14. And they've been in my life, that makes it 49 years. So from stem to stern. And they've been in it, you know, the ups, the downs, the breakups, looks like rain. I had trouble at work and the Silvio tequila back into Silvio version he recorded up at Syracuse on, I believe, 3/30/22, you know, got me through a lot of things. And one thing I was thinking about Bobby, I was, I've been in the travel business via my work at the Travel Channel, being a U.S. Travel Association board member, which is a lobbying group down in D.C. And Bobby and the Grateful Dead have been the greatest U.S. travel ambassadors that this country has known. there are thousands of us who have gotten in a car, gotten on a plane, and that was such an integral part of what made them special. And I always say it was three parts. It was your friends, it was the adventure or the trip of getting there, and not that trip, but the physical trip in the car or the plane, and then the music. And, you know, some nights all three hit, and some nights they didn't. And there's just a lot of stories from those adventures, which, you know, for me, started in the car. My first trip was to Hartford on a Sunday, up the Merritt Parkway from New Jersey, home the same night. And, you know, my last trip was via airplane. And I hate to admit it, but it ended in the Ritz-Carlton after a luxury ride to that hotel. So things have changed just a bit over the years, but it's still those three parts, the friends, the trip getting there, and the adventure getting there, and then the music, of course. So,
yeah, I'm from a younger generation, so I don't know the full capacity, I feel like, of how the Dead has impacted everybody. But, you know, I come from the generation where that's how half of my friends' parents met. They were Deadheads traveling the country, and they got to meet each other through shows, and they took them even as kids to all these shows, and all my friends have these memories, and it's really interesting to hear about from that perspective as well.
Yeah, listen, my greatest memory of them is taking my older daughter, Lainey. I got, fortunately, took her, I think, three times, and all three were incredibly memorable. She's 28 years old. She's 28 years old, and she, with the first show we saw was at Citi Field the night that John Mayer played Jerry's guitar for the first time, so very memorable.
Yeah.
We have a great shot of the two of us with Bobby in the background that I'll have to frame up at some point. The second time we saw Bobby was Dead & Company at Cornell. My daughter was pursuing a PhD at Cornell. Her office was less than a half a mile from Barton Hall. Mm-hmm. She got in for the student price of $75. And as I always say, with dollar cost averaging, it was about $1,000 a ticket.
Wow.
So
worth it, though.
Worth every dime.
Yeah, for a band that used to play for free.
Yeah.
But priceless to turn around and watch, you know, the band is in the front, and priceless to turn around and watch your daughter dancing with all her friends in the back of Barton Hall. So that was time two. And time three, we saw one show at the Sphere. So that, to me, I would have never seen that coming, you know, in 1984 and 1990. But what a joy to take my older daughter to see Dead & Company. So,
yeah.
I'd like to add, you know, but for a few people, I would say that no one did more to change the course of American history or to change civilization as we know it since we first made our way out of the swamp than Bob Weir. Bob Weir, Jerry Garcia, Albert Einstein, George Washington, Jonas Salk.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Are you saying that Bob and Jerry should go on Mount Rushmore? Because that's what I'm hearing.
Nah, because, you know, I think the perspective of who's on Mount Rushmore, Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, and Teddy Roosevelt. Government people.
You don't want them in that crowd. I don't blame you.
I think they deserve their own mountain. You know, right here in the Catskills. The Shawangunks.
Yeah.
Get working on that.
But
the Shawangunks.
I don't think you can underestimate the impact on the social fabric of our 50 states, on the economy. You know, the Grateful Dead, I remember when they pulled into Albany, when the Knickerbocker Arena, now the MVP Arena, first opened. I remember after, it was a 3-night run, right after I transferred into SUNY New Paltz. I was like, I transferred into SUNY New Paltz, and the Dead announced Albany. I'm like, this is awesome. They knew I transferred in. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that they generated $1 million in 3 days for the Albany economy.
That is insane.
You know, you know, that old saying, $1 million here and $1 million there, and you're starting to talk about real money.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels, restaurants, gas, just, you know, that really gets overlooked. And I got to say, you know, the Grateful Dead, the Kennedy Center honors and this and that, and, you know, MS Now and whoever else, you know, Fox Sports playing Grateful Dead songs as we go in and out of the TV show. You know, it's very mainstream now. And, you know, a lot of people weren't alive or they don't remember or they don't want to remember that the Grateful Dead were
outlaws.
They were outlaws and they lived and operated on the fringes of society.
Way out there. Your parents would be like, who? What? Grateful what? There's dead in the name? Doesn't sound very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had cops rounding up deadheads like nothing. And you know, they really spoke to another time in history. You know, I remember Jerry once said that you can't be a hobo and hop on a boxcar anymore, but you can go on the road with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, people forget.
And we did.
And you did.
People forget how much on the fringes of society the Grateful Dead and deadheads operated. And I think that's a real important thing to remember. You know,
it's so mainstream now. It's really from where they were.
All this John Mayer and, you know, merchandise. And, you know, you see this stuff on Facebook like Grateful Dead boxer shorts and stuff. I mean, some of this stuff would just horrify Jerry. It would horrify him. There's a great meme. You know, we used to pay what, Andrew, $35? For tickets?
35. I remember the days of eight.
Yeah, my brother said 750 was his show.
I've seen my dad's ticket stubs, and he's like, this is nothing.
Eight at Saratoga.
Yep.
There's a great meme on social media. It's a picture of Jerry, like from the early 80s probably. And he says, and the graphic says, what the F is a VIP section? Jerry would be horrified by the VIP section.
I'm horrified by the VIP section, and I'm sometime in it. It's the most ungrateful dead thing in the world. But, you know, you got to do what you have to do.
Well, it's a class. It's a class distinction, and I think Jerry would be horrified by that. I remember hearing, I don't know if it was Citi Field or where, for Dead & Company, is you could pay like another $250 for access to an area with a bar where you could then buy drinks. I mean, I don't know. Some of it just leaves me perplexed. Just give me the good old Grateful Dead.
Yep.
And I know I sound like a grumpy old man, but...
No, but what you're saying is important. That's the whole point of it.
You know, I'm very happy just staying at home with a nice meal and listening to archive.org.
Do you remember, did your parents let... What was your first show?
4787.
87. Oh, so you're a couple years behind me. You're such so young, youthful. A little different. My first show was in 1979, mm-hmm. so it just was the beginning of high school. So kind of crazy times. It was just different parenting then, because there was no parenting. I'm a latchkey kid, to the fullest. So there was 0.0 parenting. Oh, you're going? You're borrowing the car?
Okay.
No question where you're going. Oh, you went 2 hours to Saratoga? I didn't hear that part in the ask. You know, so kind of crazy times.
Yeah.
Just different.
So, should we hear some more music?
We should. We should definitely get back into the music. Thank you guys so much for being here and sharing your stories and, you know, being here on our first day of this crazy new program and testing everything out with us.
Well,
and riding the wave with us.
It is like the Apollo 13
in
here.
It is a bit.
We want to thank you and thank Andy Gladding and the whole wonderful team here for having us on the air to share our memories of a guy who, you know, I had a lot of crazy adventures with that cat.
Yeah.
I met him once, but he and I went to some pretty far out places mm-hmm. together, and we always came back.
Again, the greatest American travel ambassadors, the Grateful Dead.
For sure. All right, we're going to get back into it. Thank you guys for tuning in. 98.1 KZE.
S is for service. C is for commitment. R is for reliability. SCR Fence, offering design and installation of gates and fences for your home, farm, or business. S is also for smile and for Spitelli. Eric Spitelli and the team at SCR Fence are known throughout the region for service, commitment, and reliability.
Hi, I'm Eric Spitelli. At SCR, we offer...